August 17, 2014, it's a Watt from Pedro show. Watt for Pedro show in Pedro, but not at the Love Grotto with Brother Matt. Instead, at the Righteous Guitar Safari here, 424 West 6th Street, downtown San Pedro, home of happening music stuff. Proprietor Dirk Vandenberg allowing me to do another edition of Watt for Pedro show here.
Welcome.
And yeah, thank you much, Dirk. And will you help me welcome our guest here, Vince Maroney, who drove all the way from Echo Park.
Yes, sure I did.
Welcome, Vince.
Thank you. Thank you, Dirk.
We started the show off with Crepuscule with Nelly. Crepuscule with Nelly. Edited retakes 4 and 5, John Coltrane with Thelonious Monk, then F Light by Sawako's new album, and then theme for the Wish Granters. Only a partial, because that's all I could find, but it is the end. And like our guest says at the end of that recording, very grateful for the reception. That's Atomic Sherpas.
That's right. Okay.
Which is a band you joined, actually, right?
No, I started that.
You started? Yeah. Well, we'll get to that later. I always thought you were a mouse.
No way.
The other one was a mouse at Liquid Kitty, though.
Which one is Liquid Kitty? What? Which gig? Liquid Kitty, no, I mean Atomic Sherpas, no. That would be, Charmkin. Charmkin
Rebellion. There we go. And you are a mouse in that one.
No? It's an active mouse.
Music was so much different than your
it's
others.
It's different.
Unless, okay. Those other guys didn't write any of it?
Oh, no. In that sense, full mouse. Because there's one guy writing the music. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I figured, because it was just so much different than the...
Well, absolutely.
Your other projects where there's more Vincentonian edifice.
No, I was...
doing a donkey out the forehead. But it did get smaller. Well, yours gets bigger.
Proud to be a brick.
Look, it did get music experience.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you're Orange County, right?
Yes, sir.
Were you born there?
I was born in Montebello.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I grew up in Orange County.
Right, right.
Since
and
I was a
Garden Grove?
Tyke, that's right.
California 22.
Yeah, that's right.
You know the Long Beach part, but if you go inland, that's your part.
Yeah.
I think it ends up there.
It could well.
Does it finish there? Or does it keep going?
Yeah, I don't know.
In Long Beach, to the west end, it stops.
Yeah.
It turns into 7th Street.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
It goes
into Orange. It goes to Orange,
I think. So it keeps going.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. So you're just pierced.
I was there yesterday.
Your town is only pierced. Merely pierced.
Yeah.
You ain't like a what do you call that?
Pedro.
What do you call that?
Terminus.
Thing? Yeah.
End of the elementary canal.
End of the spar.
Yeah. Oh, a spar. Right. Yeah.
Spar.
No
spar. Side of an interstate begins with an odd number, a three number. Right. Spar.
Never found the,
okay. First earliest musical recollection. There in Garden Grove, or was it in Montebello?
Yes. No, we were in Pico Rivera. When I was a little one, I lived in Pico Rivera. I have only memories of being bathed in a sink there. And my brother was born in San Francisco, and what's funny is I guess we must have lived in San Francisco briefly, but my father lived in San Francisco working for the paper up there. He was a paper man.
Yeah.
And so he was working up there. And my mom would fly back and forth. She would fly up one weekend, he'd fly down one weekend. Nothing's germane to the question exactly, but
kind
anyway.
Of a musical record.
Yeah. But anyway, I know I must have lived there when my brother was born there, but I don't remember how that worked exactly.
Because you're ahead of him.
Yeah, that's right. Three years. Yeah. Logically, that. But anyway, Pico Rivera, what I remember is Pico Rivera to Garden Grove when I was about three. So what I remember is, because my parents had pretty good musical taste, which I think maybe many of us
so a household
through this don't realize it till later, you know. But
yeah.
But like my earliest memory I think was like listening to hearing the Hallelujah Chorus, you know, the Handel, right? And because
what of the radio? No, record.
No. My mom had records. My parents, but I think it was my mom that got these, and I heard Beethoven's 9th, Beethoven's 5th, because she had a Beethoven. You know, a collection of the symphonies, which I ruined as a child because a little toddler, I took them all out and was, you know, laying on them, scratching them up and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I
yeah,
destroyed them. With my, like, you know, that was my my rebellion against the canon, I guess.
Okay.
But
so your first experience with music is classical.
Well, this what I remember is what you're saying. You
so
know,
you're not like, hearing any harmonicas, no saxophones, no drums.
Well, we're talking child, right? I mean, yeah. You know, I heard. I remember also Paul Desmond live. I mean, no, sorry. Freaking, you know, fuck. I say Paul Desmond because that's the alto player, and it came to mind. Brubeck.
What's your name today, Brubeck?
Brubeck live at Oberlin. I remember hearing that when I was just a tyke. And I also remember the musical memory that was very strong on me was I was a little kid. I mean, I was, you know, probably four. But I remember my parents, and you know, it was just a dim memory, but it was this lounge where, you know, it was like they had a lot back then, the swinging, you know, 60s era, you know, when all that money was coming in from aerospace and all that,
yeah.
And everybody was swinging post-war. And, like, so it was this lounge where the kids could go, but it was dark, and the parents could drink, but you'd get, you know, there was food. And there was this jazz group, and I, you know, what did I know for, you know,
so
I had no idea.
That's your first live experience with music.
That I remember. Yeah. And it blew my mind, I remember, as a kid, a little child, and I didn't know that it was jazz, I didn't know what it was. But it was just like hearing these people play, it made a strong impression that I remember when I was a little, you know, just, you know, a molecule amoeba, you know, it was just like, I knew it was something super good and important, not important. It just hit me hard, and that wasn't like
it was profound.
It wasn't. It was profound, and I don't know. It wasn't that I love this music. It was just like the experience was like there's something really extremely good about this. See, when I saw Paths of Glory when I was a little kid, like you know, I used to like war movies, and I remember I didn't know it was Paths of Glory till years later. I mean, decades later. But I saw something. I thought to myself, this is something way different than what I'm used to watching. You know, when I'm seeing Pork Chop Hill or whatever. And then I didn't know, and it was like, I couldn't even order the experience. It was just like, this is something different, and I don't want to say good, you know, I don't know if that was what occurred to be, you know, like that kind of rating.
Well, it's like luck. There's good luck, there's bad luck, but it's still luck.
Okay, yeah,
so these experiences, good, bad, qualitative, they're still, they're profound, they made an impact.
Yes, okay, that, yeah.
Okay.
But later I learned it was that.
Did you pick up an instrument before you bought a record?
No.
You bought a record first. What's the first
Absolutely.
Record you bought? Because this ain't your
ABC,
parents.
ABC 123, Jackson 5. Yeah.
Great band.
Man. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding?
I think that's Jamerson on the bass.
I just did I Want You Back for at the Colburn School for this thing.
That's
with
a badass
you know, John Collison puts together for this program for bring kids into the arts, you know.
Yeah.
And the first time I ever played that song, you know. Yeah, it's just like immense, and to learn it, and boom, boom, boom. Any
probably,
song with that will kill.
Probably written on a piano, but man, it's got a good bounce. That's a great tune, a great arrangement.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jackson 5 is the first record you buy. What did you see him on the TV or something? Or hear him on the radio?
I think I heard him on the radio because as you know, radio back then was killer, right?
AM.
Yeah.
It was 93 KHJ.
Probably, yeah.
That's what it was over here.
Sure, yeah.
Cause from Hollywood. Real Don Steele.
Yeah, all that.
When did you first pick up an instrument?
Well, you're never going to get a straight answer out of me, right? That was when I picked up an accordion, but that was at the behest of my folks.
But still, it's the first time you pick up an instrument.
Because I would always bang on the seats in the car. I wanted to play drums, you know.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to play drums. I was always just like, you know, doing all that. And it drove, you know, of course, it drove the parents crazy. But I guess they probably, you know, what, like, were glad there was some impulse.
Well, accordions used to be a popular thing.
Well, my pop thought, you know, it'd be great if I played, piano would be good. My pop thought piano would be good for any musician, you know, right? And we know this is true, right? You know, but for any musician, whatever you end up playing, but they'd want to dive in and get a piano, so.
It's more econo on the accordion, but you still got a keyboard. That's why Pizzo learned it, my second man organ.
Yeah, well.
He learned it. Also, there was that slav thing, and they love.
Yeah, right. Well, it's like, you
but
know, it's in the music
convert
you hear
it
all
over.
The time.
He could convert it over.
But it didn't take to,
so
I
So much
take
you take
to
classes?
It.
How old?
I must have been child. I mean, we're talking before. I think it was before I was in school. Maybe not. Maybe six, seven. Maybe seven. Yeah.
So it's a little accordion.
No, I guess.
No?
I recall it being big and unwieldy. But
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Pizzos is like this. You can't see on the radio, people, but it's about as big as my dick.
No, you, that's one of those little harmonicas you hang around your neck.
You mean one of those little hearing aids you like yeah. get surgically implanted?
Yeah, you have nanobots.
Anyway, seriously.
Now we're getting serious.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Okay, so how long you work on this fucking aquarium?
Well, I wish I could say that, you know, I loved it like nothing else, but the fact is...
No Dick Contino in the cards.
Yeah, it was...
Wasn't he the last big star on the fucking accordion?
Well, you know...
Raymond turned me on to you.
What's his name?
Dick Contino?
I think so, like a black hair guy put hair part on the side, yeah, youngish looking.
He's got the accordion, yeah. 50s.
Oh, an accordion.
Yeah, the last big star.
I think so, yeah.
I think
yeah,
that
yeah.
was his
yeah.
name. Fuck. Somebody
no,
wrote a story, the Dick Contino Blues or something. Fuck, who was that? Man, memories starting.
But the gal across the street, Marion Brennan. She,
yeah.
My parents got their, you know, her mom involved. So the two of us would be at my house, and the accordion teacher would come over. But I just didn't take to the accordion. I couldn't relate to it.
You did duets? The harp rock?
It never got so far. You know, it was a failed experiment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a failed experiment.
Yeah.
The first instrument that I ever that I took to, as it were, was the harmonica.
Harmonica.
Yeah.
And how old were you then?
When I finally started playing it, I was 13.
So there's this gap of like 6-7 years where you don't play at all.
Well, I was, you know, they did the test in school and they said, okay, you're musical. You know, so we'll put you in choir. So I was always singing.
And doing singing.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, that's
yeah.
That's instrument two. Let's hear some more music.
This is going to be our last show in a while. When the shame is on. Truth in man. reality of truth and man supports itself through all changes. It is inevitably in the man. He and it are in love and never leave each other. O truth of the earth. O truth of things. I'm determined to press the whole way toward you. Sound your voice. I scale mountains and dive in the sea after you.
Thank you. So we're going to have one of those oral palate cleaning exercises from brothers Joe and Harry, who make a racket in Harry's bedroom under the name Milo's Planes. You won't be able to hear a single word of what they sing or shout.
Thank you.
We heard, was that Grupo Sexo the first band you were in?
Oh, no.
No, so we're going to get into that right after this. But this is the first band I knew Vince Moroney was in. It's with Squirrel Boy, something live. I guess it was in between you guys recording albums. The second one is the one that's ever recorded.
I beg your pardon?
Maybe there was plans, but the one guy...
Oh, no, we did too. We did
the label two. Thing.
Well, yeah, it was...
Right.
There's a,
okay.
That's a fun one.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, well, we must.
Sagoti with The Hard Rain Comes Down, Master. Stoma with Vortex. Allegheny Whitefish. Tom Tobacco's doing What Are You Gonna Say to Me? Bender, Day 15 from the Sterile Jets. Meander. I played bass on this, Kyoko too. Yeah, you just jam, and they just do samples.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Trippy. I first did that with Tricky. He just said, play. I said, play to what?
Yeah.
Just play. We'll make it a tune later.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll see what you've done.
Right. Then Cuz with Song for Ronnie. That's for Ron Ashton. Cuz me and Brother Sam. Chicano Batman with Fantasia. Something brand new from Boris Siesta. 2 Feet in a Crowd by Milo's Planes, and finally Tom Gallo with This Room is an Island. Back to Vince Moroney's musical journey. You're picking up the harp at 13. What, 7th grade?
Well, no, I was actually 13. I was in, I'm going to make that 14, because I was in high school, like I was the youngest or second youngest
All
person
right.
in high school. So I was 14 and
Is it man alone, or are you wanting to play with people?
I started out by myself, and because my pop had a harmonica in his like drawer. They brought out one time, it was shiny marine band, you know, and I thought, I don't know, I just loved it, you know, and it had a red, white, and blue case. The whole thing just looked great. Get a cardboard case. And it turns out my pop, you know, had like a musical past when he was growing up in the Depression in Detroit, but you know, he had to support the family early, you know, and all that. And my uncle too, but
learning off records, or did you learn from him?
I learned. No, he played it once when I was a little kid, and that's all I remember ever playing. And
you're listening to the records?
Listening to the records, yeah. Well, I think
had a harp in here last week, right? Stampede Slim. He said he learned from Little Walter.
Well, I didn't get to Little Walter till later.
What were you listening to first?
Well, I just heard. You know, it's funny because I heard Work Song, and I, you know, it wasn't like I was seeking out Cannonball Adderley, but that came on the radio too. And so Work Song, now that's not easy to fit on the harp necessarily, but you know, because the harp's diatonic, right?
Well, it depends. I've seen them chromatic button pusher.
Well, there's chromatic and there's diatonic. I mean, that's why it's called chromatic, because
if you had the chromatic, maybe you could do it easier.
Well, sure, but then you'd have to learn the freaking chromatic thing. But you have to look at your thumb involved. That might be, you know, just far too complex.
Compared to what? The Alabama sausage whistle?
Yeah, that just comes naturally.
It brings out your natural tendencies.
Fleshes out. Fleshes them out, as it were. So,
so what are you listening to?
At that time. Now?
No, when you're getting into the...
Well, the thing is, at that time, I'm listening to Black Sabbath, the Allman Brothers.
Oh, there's some harp in there.
Sure there is.
Right.
Yeah. Steppenwolf. There's harp.
Yeah, right. You know, John Kay would play.
Live at the Fillmore East.
Is that Ozzy playing it on?
Yeah, it was Ozzy, as a matter of fact. And Live at the Fillmore East had a harp player on one of the tunes. And I was listening to that. And then my parents gave me a chromatic also, but I wasn't learning by the button, so I was playing it diatonically. And I was jamming along with the Allman Brothers record. The thing is, you got to pick the right harp, since they're diatonic, if you're playing that. So I was trying. So I gained a lot, because I would figure out how to play.
You wouldn't just get another harp.
I didn't know that.
Believe me, I stumbled through shit like that.
But it helps in a way, doesn't it?
The cross harp technique, right?
Well,
modal thing.
Yeah. Well, right. And so then, like...
Or you just get the, you know, Pancho Villa bandolero thing, and now you start packing.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what you have to do if you're going to play a bunch of...
Right.
And
it looks cool, too.
But there are these... I shouldn't call
better
them...
Better than a fanny
freaks,
pack.
But there's... Yeah, sure. Yeah. There are these...
I mean, maybe this is an aesthetic issue.
There's been a... or, you know, maybe on your arm, you know, for quick access. But... like some sort of like special forces ammunition or something, but
just hot box like 8 of them.
Yeah, well, they make those too, like, you know. Something like, I wonder why they never took off, but
jaw pain.
But then actually,
you
I learned.
Jamming, this
I learned
you just jamming the records. You're not really playing with people.
That's
yet.
Right. Yeah. And I learned. I got. But I did get like. I guess I was already playing in the first band I was in when I got Jay Giles live Full House, and I basically learned
Magic Dick.
Exactly. Yeah. And he was
that
like
that guy was pretty bad.
You bet he was.
For a rock
or still
band.
Is. But
still is.
I think so.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Still in the ring. Yeah. He was one of the things I liked about that band.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
I really did. I saw him blow away Grand Funk Railroad.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah, they do. Well, yeah, Magic Dick, he was
Magic
he is
Dick
badass.
Is smoking. Well, yeah, you didn't learn apart from the blues, you learned it from rock, which those guys probably learned from the blues,
right.
So secondhand.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Led Zeppelin also, like the first album and stuff.
Oh, right.
I had all those.
Like every lead singer maybe had to do some harp in those rock bands.
Well, they came out of that, London blues,
blues
the
thing.
London, feeding us
England
our own music.
England people
back.
Teaching us back our own music.
Yeah, well, thank God they
did,
right?
No, I'm way into it.
Yeah.
Right, the Yardbird guy, Keith, he would do...
Because that
everybody did a harp.
That was a blues scene. I mean, it came out of a blues scene, then it got rocked up.
Right, the guitar came out.
So what it grew from was those guys just learning, and they learned, they were religious about it, right? You know? And so, harp was like, it wasn't just some little thing, it was like part of the Holy Land.
Right. Okay, we're at the end of the first hour, August 17, 2014, edition of Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. August 17th, 2014. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
sometimes the wrong notes. Consciousness is a sliding scale. Trees, mountains, water are different levels.
Tell the tale of the old man, weigh absence in a scale, meet want with a span, the sum assess of the world's woes, nothingness in words and clothes.
Like a polecat and vinegar tongue.
started the second hour off with some Bazooka. That's Maroni's band. After Grupo Sexo. In Defense of Phallic Powers, Totems 2. Then we heard Plaque Clove by Distinctive Instinct. I'm on bass there. Tailpiece by Mr. Salmon Becca. I just finished Watt after many attempts. It makes the wrong change and disappears. Great payoff. Don't give up. Read the whole fucking thing, good people. He was on the run from the Nazis in southern France when he wrote it. I don't think he liked it so much. I think he called it an exercise. Then we heard Holt Jamara by The God in Hackney. Trauma Model by Januaris. Helios by Ned Collette and Wirewalker. Sorry, Ned. Helios. Helios Creed's got a new album out. Half Machine from the Sun or something. Chrome. Did you ever know them?
Not personally.
It was intense. Well, yeah. I meant by the sound. Then we heard Who I Am by the Dwarves. G-O-D spells God by the Pollution. That's a tribute to Dave Brocky. And yeah, you people know a Canadian guy who sang for Roar. Passed away a few months ago. And then finally, Leave It Alone, the 2014 version from Super Fast Girly Show out of Liverpool, England. Guest Vince Maroney left off last on your musical journey. You know, you're playing harp in high school. You're learning off rock records.
Yep. Yeah, and then I ran, you know, I had some buddies that, you know, I grew up with, and some are, you know, had this family of brothers that I kept playing with for many, many years, and you know, they all have remained friends while one passed away. And I got to say, yeah, RAP to my good buddy Jeff Currier. Yeah, so anyway, these guys all played in a band, you know, played in bands, like starting even in eighth grade. And, like, so I went over to one of their rehearsals.
Pratt.
You know, Prack, yeah, that's right. And right, no, they were actually doing they were doing Beckett, and then they went and played music afterwards. But anyway, so I went over there, and it's in the living room, and they're playing Cry You a Song by Jethro Tull,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is like ninth grade. I mean, maybe this is tenth grade by then. But anyway, like, you know, and they're doing it. Killing. I mean, they're killing it. You know, they're not, and it's just, you know, in this living room. They had a Fender Bassman, you know, like the gear that was just like the gear back then. Because one, the guitar player, his older brothers played, so he had the hand-me-down gear was like a Fender Bassman,
so
right?
Did
in the
you
Fender
join
Mustang.
In?
Huh? At that time,
yeah.
You know, I just had a harp, and
yeah.
I'm like, but no, I did not. I was just right. There, and I'm listening. I was blown away.
It's intimidated.
Like to hear, no, they were having a practice, and it's like, you know, it wasn't the thing, you know.
You just don't jump in?
No, I didn't just, like, you know, grab the mic, watch me go, clear the lane, I'm going solo.
The whole first,
yeah.
Last poet's out?
Yeah.
No, you should save that for the wedding
yeah.
Band stuff.
But,
okay.
But anyway, I got blown away by that. I wanted to play.
So you wanted to get, oh, it inspired you to want to get into a band.
Yeah, well, yeah, I wanted to play live music. I just wanted to play
live music. So Jethro Tull is a flute player.
Yeah, well, yeah, Ian Anderson, right? And so I, like.
The original bass player lives here in Pedro.
Cornick?
More. He moved to Hawaii.
Wait, Cornick?
Glenn Cornick was living here for years. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
There's a picture of
so
him.
Anyway,
I love Glenn
this
Cornick.
Guy wants you to start on flute.
No, I decided, I go, hey, you
move
guys.
Move from harp to flute?
Because none of them were, like, super comfortable singing. So, and you know, like, I wasn't like, I'm Mr. Rock Singer. But I thought, I want to play music. I want to
be
music.
In your band and I'll be the singer?
I say, yeah, I'll be the singer
okay.
And I'll get a flute and learn it.
Okay.
And so they, well, both, two of the guys had flutes. They go, well, we're not, we wanted to learn to do boré.
They probably all got skin flutes.
Yeah. I think, you know, that's a conservative estimate there. But,
yeah,
I know. But
there's also fleshy clarinets,
yeah.
Boner flutes.
Yeah, right. But that's true. Yeah, I guess it's.
Yeah, I know. I hate to generalize.
It could
some,
be.
So.
Yeah, that's right.
So what? Would you play? What did you do? Roland Kirk and get stereo on both of them?
I got it. I did, since they weren't successful, they're as successful as they
oh,
wanted
they
me,
were trying.
They gave me flutes. Yeah, they gave me the flutes, and one of them did, and it's like I picked it up pretty quick, and yeah, and so I was in. Yeah.
But you didn't do it in school.
No. Never.
Okay.
I was never
okay.
In a school program.
Okay. Because you said you took a test.
Well, that was back in elementary school. There's this lady comes to your class
yeah.
And goes, you know, sing la, la, la,
oh,
la,
but
la.
You didn't end up in the school band.
Oh,
okay.
No.
Okay.
But, I sang.
What was this band called with these brothers?
This band was called, well, actually, the brothers. The brother bailed out, and then, yeah. It, you know, so, but it was called Axis Sally.
Axis Sally.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, named after the fact.
Do you remember the first gig?
The first gig, yes, I do. I was at Walton Junior High School. Yeah.
All right.
Right, it was for
Where's that? Garden Grove?
It's in Garden Grove, yeah. Next to the Isaac Walton Fishing Pond.
Isaac Walton is the name of our used to be the name of our hostel. We don't have that name anymore.
Huh. Well, yeah, Walton was our junior high, right, and it was for Isaac Walton. Yeah, so...
What was that like?
It was radically cool. I was scared as shit.
Yeah.
And I remember I made a mistake that was immortalized on cassette.
Only one?
chica porque lloraba porque tengo que anunciar a mi novio, no me quiso dar los pañuelos de mi novio, no se la más coja, era la mano ubica de sangre de mi corazón.
Frágil como un volantín en los techos de barrancas, jugaba el niño Luchín con sus manitos moradas, con la pelota de trapo, con el gato y con el perro. El caballo lo miraba. En el agua de sus ojos se bañaba el verde claro. Gateaba su cortedad con el potito embarrado, con la pelota de trapo, con el gato y con el perro. El caballo lo miraba. El caballo era otro juego en aquel pequeño espacio, y al animal parecía le gustaba ese trabajo, con la pelota de trapo, con el gato y con el perro, y con Luchito mojado. Si hay niños como Luchín que comen tierra y gusanos, abramos todas las jaulas pa' que vuelen como pájaros, con la pelota de trapo, con el gato y con el perro, y también con el caballo.
Sin cara mira, no hay ningún espejo, mujeres desesperadas trabajan hasta muy tarde y juegan con un cerebro. Ya es la una. We'll be right back.
adaptados a la muerte, incluso a la propia. Fruto amargo, óleo preparado, rebeliones musculares, cucarachas detrás de los sótanos. Y así viajando es como voy dándome cuenta de que ser adulto es aprender a convivir con las mentiras, con las letras, con las sílabas fuertes, al principio de la
so much, guys. That's too kind. It's not you, Los Angeles. It's your fucking jean shorts. No one wants to see that shit. But no, seriously. No one wants to see that shit.
Thank you. incense and wax, taint the presence of God. Perfume and blood is the scent of my love, who sits in squalls. Forget what was prophesied. Consider, I don't want to die until I know why blood was colored so beautifully. We could stand invisible if not for the dirt over our sweat. So we settle for nudity in hope that the next danger that passes knows we have no shame. We've made no change. Perhaps in the later years of my life, I truly have gone mad. Those who believe that
Watt from Pedro show. We just heard the Itchy Brother. That's you with Fatso Jetson doing some live tune there. Mario.
Yeah.
Oh, great musician in person. Then Za with Pacha Madeira Tira Wa number one. El Cocotero from Butanizer. Those are some Valencia bands, Spain. Victor Jara. Jara, I'm sorry. With Luchin. He was a Chile guy. I think 23 Bullets or something. Great Pinochet boost up. Speaking of the organization you were talking about. Serve and Ronda by Familia Miranda. Those are Chile guys living in Barcelona. Gene Shorts. Live Bob Schreiner, Jackie Silva from the Lemon Limes. I think Bob Schreiner, that's live at the Redwood. Lemon Limes up in the Bay Area, Kevin Schnell. And me, you find a sure support from now. They're out of London. And finally, Incense and Wax Bazooka with special guests Jack Brewer, Don Carroll, and Jeremy Keller, two of which went on to be part of Bazooka Mach 2, I am enlightened. So, you're playing with Axis Sally?
Yeah.
And when does this Grupo Sexo thing come?
You know, the funny, that's that was actually...
Is there bands in between?
Benefited that time, but yeah. Those were my buddies from high school. Those Axis Sally Interchange, and we had name permutations and started doing our own songs and stuff like that. Don Carroll was in that band, and then I was in the Firemen, actually, after that, which is like when I first... played drums. I would borrow drums and play in the Fireman.
You got into drums how?
I always
going
wanted
back to when you were
always wanted to
shit.
Play. Yeah, and I always would bug my drum any drummer I was playing with if I could play their kit. Unfortunately, like in Axis Alley, my buddy Larry Bellera hated that idea. I would get to play his drums maybe once every 3 months, just bugging him every time.
Oh man!
And I played for 2 minutes.
So was the solution.
Well,
get your own kit.
But then Mark Crawford from the Crawford Brothers would let me play his kit and taught me beats.
Oh, wow.
And he was just totally supportive. I thought every drummer hates it when you play the drums. But he was like, oh, play. It's great. Here, do this. So he taught me beats. And then finally I was driving when, Axis Alley, and it had become the Allies. And
you graduated high school yet?
I'm out of high school by about 2 years, year or two. And then I'm driving by maybe 3 years. I'm driving by a yard sale. There's some drums in a box. And Ludwig, old, you know, with the gold stripe in them, the old, you know, with the lugs in the middle. And, like, I stop by and I ask the guy how much. He says, oh, they're my brothers. We just took them out of the garage to get the stuff out. And he comes back, goes in the house, comes out and goes, well, how's $20? And I go, okay, I guess I'll splurge. So, but it was a rack tom, snare, and kick, no floor tom. But they sounded great. I still have the kick because I loaned the drums to a buddy who parked them outside.
So you get into drums.
Yeah.
But in El Grupo Sexo, you're playing sax.
Well, I picked up the sax in the later period of playing with my high school buddies with, you know, the garage band that we
moved
had.
Moved up from the flute to the sax.
Well, I added it and in fact
augmented,
yeah. And and so I started playing that thing and
gotcha.
I taught myself.
Not alone?
Yeah.
Maybe John Fogerty did that.
I guess. Sax?
What's it? Yeah, pendulum.
I knew the scale. I knew one, like a couple of scales. Yeah. So then I just figured start on each note and then play the scale.
Sure.
And, you know, then we went from there, you know. And then I got some lessons
again,
later.
Again, people, no school band stuff.
No.
Most people think that there's a brass.
That's right.
Or a woodwind involved. It had to come from a school experience.
People
that's
always
not
say
true.
That to me. They go, oh, so you were obviously in high school bands.
You loved it when ska bands made it.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened? You get tired of playing with these guys?
Well, we had, we had conflicts and stuff, and I guess
your last band
scared? Boy, even...
Look, we're at the end of the second hour on the 17th, 2014 edition of Off Pedro Show, here at Guitar Shop, Guitar Safari, Dirk Vandenberg, and our special guest, Vince Maroney. Hold tight, hour three! August 17th, 2014, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Now I hear this echo from Liberty Hill, the reading of the Constitution by Upton Sinclair. It still rings in this ocean air. I swear those echoes, hey man, they're still here, down at a place called Liberty Hill. Yeah, 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 oh. Back in 1923, there was this waterfront strike. Down in Pedro, there was struggle and strife. Just off of Beacon Street, where the lumber was hauled, but the Wobblies were co-opted at a place they called Bink Hall. Just outside, they were singing, hey, 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 Liberty Hill, hey, 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 Liberty Hill. The echoes are here still, down at a place called Liberty Hill. Now the bosses and the police, and then the Ku Klux Klan, all conspired against the common working man, forcing violations of law for a syndicalist fame. Why they labeled every wobbly with red baiting names. Outside the doors, they were still chanting, hey, 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 Liberty Hill, hey, 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 Liberty Hill. The echoes are here still, down at a place called Liberty Hill. The Wobblies, they fought for their liberty, free speech, and the right to organize. And they were beat up in jail by the police for these ideals. At a rally in 23, Sinclair was arrested for disturbing the peace. After reading 6 lines from the U.S. Bill of Rights, Mr. Hammond called down the LAPD. Oh, hey, 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 Liberty Hill. Hey, hey, oh, hey, Liberty Hill. The echoes are here still, down at a place called Liberty Hill. Mayor Cryer did not respect civil rights. And Police Chief Oak, he said, I know what it doesn't like. They arrested Sinclair, moved him from jailhouse to jail, just this so his lawyers could post no bail. And inside the jailhouse, they're finally singing amazing. Hey, 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 Liberty Hill. Hey, 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 war. Hey, Liberty Hill. The echoes are here still. Got a place called Liberty Hill. Thank you. was 1 year later the police admitted to being goons for the bosses. Hey, we were nothing more than hired thugs to cover for Mr. Hammond's losses. But written down in the history, obscure though true, that this was the incident that started Southern California ACLU. Go out in the morning, just about sunrise. Look out over the harbor, just as the fog begins to lift. And you turn your head a certain way, just to catch the wind. Oh, I swear there's an echo, and this is what it says. Oh, hey, 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 Liberty Hill. Hey, 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 Liberty Hill. And that echo is still. Down at a place called Liberty Hill. Hear that echo from Liberty Hill. The reading of the Constitution by Upton Sinclair. It still rings in his ocean air. Hey, I swear those voices, amen, they're still here. Liberty Hill. Yeah, Liberty Hill. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, hey, Liberty Hill. The echoes are here still. In any place you want to call Liberty Hill.
James Smith Barnett, I'm not here at him. Came to the game for my house. I never, went out a loser. And my James, I was in a, and I turned that so the wedding for the weekend. The two word arranged to I, my head, just a chance to have sex. Goodbye.
And a mouth beside this makes a nice orifice to blow you a kiss. I'm a fingers and thumbs, feeling so numb, better put my gloves on. Gonna track the match, I'd be mad if I catch. Turn on your door like snatch, snatch. I forget, no, that night in April or June. That night with sugar and milk. That night like someone you know. That night is traveling like me.
Watch for Pedro show. Started off the third final hour for today's edition with Pray For Me. No, we haven't got that one yet. It was Slugfest, Live, Bazooka, Mach 2. Then Pigeons for Swan by Sam Sebrin. After that, Sea Hag, Wart and Tears Ensemble. Both those New York, one upstate, one in the city. Ballad of Liberty Hill, James Preston down here. Pedro, Zombie Crash, Interlude, Brighton, England. Sea Dog, Brighton, England. Haunted, and finally Clowns from Brighton, England, with Looking for a Fool, which is, you know, the story of my life. Here with Vince Maroney, on the journey. You've quit your first band with all its incarnations, and you've gotten a drum set.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've augmented sax to your harp and flute experience.
Right. Yeah, okay. Take and then, well, I was playing drums in the Fireman, and that was like they won this contest before I was in it, and they
Fireman is like Garden Grove band.
Well, it was a UCI band, three guys from UCI.
Okay.
Don Carroll, John Carroll.
UCI people is a college here.
Yeah, and Don Carroll.
Anteaters?
Huh? Anteaters. That's, I believe you're right. Don Carroll.
Again, Don Carroll.
Who was a keyboard player in Mach 2 and also the guitar player, bass player in El Grupo Sexual. Well, he was a bass player and writing punk songs in...
But he was also an Axis Sally.
The later version, yes, that's right. And he was... because he was the guy that... I won't expand. I'll try to keep to the path. So it was him playing bass, John Carroll saw guitar, Dave Otto singing, and then they needed a drummer, so... I started playing with them, and like they won this contest to get on the Devotees album, which was a Devo cover. So it was played on K Rock. We did Jocko Bozo was our version, and we went in to record. And we recorded, and Richard Foose produced. It was a Rhino thing. And then the engineer says, "So how long you been playing drums?" I said, "You mean how many times?" So
yeah.
So that's okay. Anyway,
making fun of you?
Pardon me?
He wasn't making.
No, we hadn't started. It was just making conversation. But it was chill. In my case, it was just like true. It was like how many times, man?
That's so
like,
you didn't say that after hearing you play?
Huh? No. I mean, I listened to it. I can't believe it. It's like I don't know how I managed.
That's
to
a weird beat in that song, anyway.
Well, we actually.
what was his name? Alan?
Yeah.
He passed away. A couple years ago. Or last year.
But so they okay. So the guys
from Fireman, how
guys in my the high school band got kind of pissed because me and Don were playing in that.
Yeah.
And they thought if we devoted our energy to the to the real
you diluted band, the cause.
Right. And so anyway, that split up. Yeah. And then when I with the Fireman played with the front, there was other guys that became then the front. And I said, hey, you guys should have like
the front.
The front was like the Palumbo brothers and Jason Mann and Dan Rinaldi.
Of course.
And
you guys all got together.
Yeah,
I know there was a lot of dudes in Grupo Sexo.
Yeah, well the thing was is like I told the front dudes, I go, hey, you guys should, because they're all jangly. I said, you guys need a legato instrument. I go, I'm saying I don't should be in the band, but I just want to have you hear what a legato instrument over that would sound like, because it'd be a great bed
more
for that.
Pad.
You know, yeah. Well, not pad, but something to go against the jing, gang, gong, gang, gong, gong, something to go over
pad.
It. Yeah, okay. And so anyway, I went over there. The two of the guys go, hey man, you know, we're going to start a new band. You want to be in it? Those that became El Grupo Sexo. They said, hey, do you know a guy that can play accordion? I go, yeah. Don Carroll. Don Carroll was getting into Norteña music at the time, so he had an accordion. And I was going, well, yeah, I know a guy. Well, what about a trumpet player? Yep, because Otto, the guy who sang in Fireman, also played, like, trumpet in marching band. So, like, hey, I can get a trumpet player.
So and you're like the Socket Man. You're bringing everybody together in that band.
Yeah, well, I knew these cats and just brought them on.
Right,
and then
right.
Tony Adam, what about another sax player? Yep, right. And I know him because I knew Tony from Bill Crawford and from HB, and they worked at an Alpha Beta together.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's like, yeah, well, and I know these dudes, and then that became the meta.
How long that band last?
That band lasted, you know, I'm like Buck Mulligan, you know, I don't remember details very well, but I think it must have been for freaking, let's just say 5 years, about, roughly.
5 years.
Roughly.
84 to 89,
well,
like
we
that.
Must have ended in about 88, because Bazooka was Pearls before Swinson's 89.
Yeah.
And then, but we had Bone Shake in between.
Now, people, Bazooka was a band, that's how I was introduced. I kind of knew about El Grupo Sexo.
Well, Sexo, we played with you.
Played with you. Kind of knew, but I didn't know if you were a music dude yet.
Yeah,
Tell Bazooka.
Okay.
And then we played together. And
although, I don't remember you. I met you the first time we played together. You pulled in and with your...
I was actually out of state when we played together.
But you... Well, you pulled in...
Remember? Didn't we play out in Kansas or Nebraska with each other?
I met you in...
I saw him as Bazooka playing with
Hell yeah. Bazooka and Firehose. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's where I know you as a music man.
More. Right, right.
I've been playing gigs with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Grupo Sexo, I saw the band a couple times, played together,
but I just remember.
But I don't know, I didn't know you as a band dude. So
right, okay.
When the Bazooka thing came, yeah, I put it together. Mm-hmm. You were the guy from the band. Tony
right.
was the guy from the band.
Yeah.
And you guys do a bunch of records?
Two.
It's a power trio thing.
Yeah.
You guys kind of took the bad experience of El Grupo Sexo and did an instrumental kind of, hardly any singing in that band,
that's
as I recall.
Yeah.
And real concise, tight instrumentals.
Right.
Kind of bop.
Well, actually, we said we wanted to be the Minutemen of improvised, you know, free improvisation. That was one of the things, because we wanted to have short tunes and, like, get to it. So we started off just, like, making, like, super... We had a plan. Like, it was like, okay, one guy starts it with whatever, and then it's like, then you hand it off, but it's you know, not like not with a nod or anything. It's just like, okay, it's time for someone else to develop it. But so in other words, one guy comes up with the idea, then somebody else comes in with one, and the other guy comes in with one. But it's all got to be wrapped up in a minute. That was our like, you know, formula to keep it concise. And then it changed because we weren't like doctrinaire. But anyway, yeah, we had you know, through composed stuff, of course, and stuff. But yeah, we were influenced.
I think being instrumental too, you lost out on that yuck yuck stuff that was in the in Grupo Sexo.
We had some of we used to
the
start
the titles
off the
would be funny.
Yeah,
but the music was pretty muscular, man. It was pretty. It wasn't Weird Al Yankovic.
No, but if you listen to Sexo, I mean, I think there was more, let's say, than that. It was always like, you know, there's you have to look behind the jester mask, you know, because, you know, I imagine that there were different types of jesters.
I don't have so much time, but I'll put it on the list.
Well, you don't have
jester
to.
Jester mask, El Grupo Sexo peep.
Well, right.
Okay.
But you could take the...
But Bazooka, I didn't have to look behind the mask. It was very apparent. It was very muscular, very articulate, right in your face.
Okay.
Not a lot of front. I really dug it.
I didn't
see any pretense in it. I mean, you guys wore suits and stuff, but when half that shit came off by halfway down the set,
by necessity, it would fall apart. On tour, man, that shit would get.
But
like,
you know what I mean? It was to me, it was a way different vibe than that other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the bands before that, so to me, like, that's what I know, Vince.
Well,
that's why I asked you to play with me and a pair of pliers.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I asked you before that to be part of my set two drummer experiment.
Yep.
Crew of the Flying Saucer.
Yes, sir.
But there was one of the parties involved.
That's why we call it an experiment.
Oh, man. Let's see if there's some more music.
I got a chick who's a little
Watt from Pedro Show. The Gears with Psychotic Sweetheart. You Can't Hide Your Crimes by Fan Zhui Jiangfa. Sorry,
that's not Chinese.
They're from China, but got a lot of expats in the band. I think only the singers. Copper Flavored Rendezvous by something live, Orgullo Primitivo. I think they're Filipinos. And A Hole in the Moon, Sweats of Clay, that's Canada. Social Skills, The Birds Are Horrendous. Those are some England ladies. And finally, Split Red with Texas Mercy. They're Philadelphia. Back to Vince Maroney's story about Bazooka. That's where we left him at. This was a band. Actually, this is you not joining a band, too. This is you putting together a band. Maybe the first time, me and Tony,
because the thing is, Sexo blew apart as kind of a drag. And then we had Bone Shake, which we took from dudes that were straight up, well, actually, dude that was straight up from El Grupo Sexo. I mean, there were other dudes that were straight up, but weren't, you know, like, necessarily into participating in that, or that they weren't right for what we were trying to do. Whatever. It's just like this dude, we had one dude that was a straight up dude from Sexo. And me and Tony, it's like, well, no, this band got undermined, blown up by a dude that just, you know, his head went Nova, and thank God he's cool now. I mean, he's got his life together and all that, it's great, but, you know, it blew up the band. We're like, hey, man, we're not quitting this thing. And so we forged on.
We're not quitting this thing, or we're not quitting music.
Just the music, period. That's never an issue. I mean, that, you know, that's the one of those till cold dead hands.
I was just trying to clarify for
you. Yeah, okay, no, but we're not just like, you know, we're going straight ahead, like with this same, you know, energy and whatever, because, you know, we were working hard and playing a lot, and, you know, it was a very constantly creative endeavor, you know, and so, you know, we're just like, no, man, this ain't blowing us out of the water at all. And some of the dudes were like, no, it's time for me to raise a family. Oh, well, you know, I'm not really into playing live anyway. You know, so, but we're like, hey, man, okay, whatever, but we're going on. And so we had Bone Shake with one dude from Sexo, that was John Kurosawa, then my buddy Rick Crawford, one of the Crawford brothers, the one that, you know, taught me beats. The other one is Bill Crawford, who, you know, we know Bill Crawford. Man. So anyhow, you know, and then we had to find a drummer, and that was pretty funny. But, I mean, we're talking about Penny Saver ads.
But anyway, yeah, but Bazooka,
no time
you're
for
the drummer.
But Bazooka, I'm the drummer, but the thing, check it out. So Bone Shake, I'm singing.
Bone Shake, you ain't
I'm singing,
the
playing sax, okay, playing harmonica. Okay. Tony's singing.
I never saw Bone Shake.
I liked that band a lot. We loved it. But then one dude bailed.
You didn't
give
me any record.
One dude
Did
bailed.
Did you record?
Just a demo, yeah. But one dude.
You got to get me that so I can play on the show.
Sure. Yeah, one dude bails, another guy bails. And so me and Tony were just thinking, you know, Okay, let's move on. Next, I'll play drums until we get a drummer. We're going to look for a drummer.
We're counting too much on other people. Let's just do this.
And so we got Bill Crawford. He's into it. Yeah. Cool. Bill Crawford, right on. Me, Tony, him get together. I'm going to play drums until we get a drummer. But, like, at one point we just go, like, about three times playing together. It's like, oh, wait a minute. And we're doing Red Car by Art Pepper, right? Not an easy tune. And we're the three of us. We figure, look, this
better
sounds
than
pretty
Candy
good.
By the Cars.
Yeah, well, it's you know, like, I guess, well, like you say, that's why Baskin-Robbins, right? But, you know. But anyway.
Many colors to make a rainbow.
Yeah. So true. And so anyway, we go, okay, let's just, the three of us, like this.
Yeah.
And so we're tired of tending turkeys. So Tony said, so we wrote a tune called Turkey Tenders. So we're just tired. Like, we go, three people, that much less chance for flakeism, right? It's just numerically. And
you
so
cut your losses.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's why that started. So I was like, yeah, drums cool.
But what happened to that band? Bill got writing a screenplay.
Bazooka, he wrote a screenplay. He sold it and like, you know, made him and he hit with his brother and his, you know, soon to be wife. They wrote a screenplay and sold it, made $1 million, you know, between them. And
he quit music.
He quit married life and so forth. And
so it wasn't really the cold dead hands.
Not for him.
Yeah.
No, it was for me and for Tony.
No, for different people, it's a different thing. You know, Arthur Rimbaud, I think, did Poems 3 years.
Yeah.
Some people. Elvin Jones had the tank on stage, okay? He went down.
Yeah.
So there's different ways.
Yeah.
And I don't think
absolutely.
One is more legitimate than the other. It's just
I don't
the way
either.
It is.
Of course. Of course.
Okay. So you reform Bazooka.
Yeah, right. Well,
actually, between that, you're part of the crew of the Flying Saucer.
That's
people.
Right.
That's a band I put together to try to realize Ball Hug or Tugboat songs, which was a purely studio album. 48 different people, 17 different bands, was never meant to tour. I did end up... Georgie would always tell me, you know, the closest note to the bass guitar is the kick drum. Georgie was always telling me I was giving him too much to do on the kick drum, so I thought maybe two drum sets, and they could piece out. So we tried this with Flying Saucer, but yeah.
Well,
you know,
it's one of the things
happen like that.
Hindsight,
but you know what?
Without trying it,
it would have been lamer to conceptualize how it would have been. I'm glad we found where the wall was by pushing up against.
So it's
a great thing. That was a nightmare tour you had to go through in that prayer.
Well, that wasn't easy either,
and,
man.
No, part of it was nothing to do with music. It was
prayer.
Totally.
Ooh,
yeah.
I wrote a song about that, yeah.
He had a tradesman, 64, 65?
I think it was 65. Yeah, 65.
How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
So maybe mid-60s, and this
65.
Dude put in the fucking distributor shaft, it had an angle to it, so it was eating up worm gears.
I think it was a cam lobe.
Up the worm gears. You're eating up shafts fiber shafts.
Well, it was bumping up the place.
It would wear it out.
I would get up in the morning at the Motel 6 and get up. It's like two.
Try to find a place with the pads.
No, dude, I don't know. I would get
I remember the 2 days at the end of the Chesapeake Ridge when you're in the dude's garage.
And then I just lived at the truck stop with that Great Red Meats and Rice. But I would get up like 2 hours before you guys at the most 6 and then take the freaking doghouse off, the seats out, and tune the thing up, time it, and reset the points.
Try to time it.
Well,
because the slop in the play, because it was...
That too, but the dude told me at the truck stop when he finally fixed it up was that, this part of this year, that's actually the wrong timing mark, because I had the book, right? He's going, nah, because they were doing this. It was like, I didn't put a new timing mark on it.
Yeah. Well, the guy did you a lot of favors to fix that up before tour. Big Carmen donated for him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we tried
that, and then I put together a band with Tom Watson and yourself called Pair of Pliers, and we did some touring, which was,
was
righteous.
Yeah.
Me, actually, pre-sickness and post-sickness. Post-sickness was really important in my life because I thought music was over for me there. I thought everything was over. And you guys even drove all the way back. I joined the Jay Maskus tour.
Yeah,
you guys had a hell ride.
Coast to Coast 10. That was cool.
Make a left at the 10 and keep on going.
Yeah.
But then after that...
Got to play with the...
You do other bands. This is where the Fatso Jetson and the Sherpas and these other Charmkins and Hellbat and these things happen.
Well, you know how it is.
We're talking the early 2000s.
Early 2000, like Bazooka. Okay, so Bazooka changes up. I got the other guys bail. I get some other cats because I'm still into the concept. Changes a little bit, but Bazooka goes on. But then a couple of you could call them rough tours, but it's just what touring's about. Yeah. What did you call Donate? No, character builders.
Character builders.
That's what it's about. You do it for a while, and then you get then things happen. You got to do it, but guys got too busted up and didn't want to go further. So that was it for that. But at the same time through Bazooka, I had met, Boomer and Larry and Tony and Gary Arce, those guys, the desert dudes. And, I was always buddies. I recorded with Fatso Jetson on a couple records, as friends. And then they asked me in the band when they moved into town. So I was in Fatso Jetson. I mean, over the years, it's like, there's like Brother Weasel Atomic is mine. Yeah. Well, me and Klukas, actually, after I toured with the Bell Rays playing drums, I wanted to, I was like touring. I had all these friends that played great in town. And like, I wanted to say, let's get some of these guys together. Pardon me. I was having coffee and stuff. And like, so me and Dan Klukas, let's get a band that can the people can dance to, but like that brings in all the anything from 21st
that
century.
That ain't stylistically confined.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Exactly. And then so we say, okay, let's get okay, and then we started that band. So that was actually the Sherpas, me and Klukas, and then Klukas bailed, and so then I got and I needed to get another. Well, I was actually with all the guys from that. Okay. And then another dude fails, so I got two guitar players. Well, I said Brad Lewis he needed a hiatus, but we're still playing. So I said, okay, well, I got to get some, I got to do it. So I took two guitar players to replace the lazy Brad Lewis, and then so that's where we got Matt Lake and Kerry Foss, and that was with Pat Hood and Mike Sessa, and that was the Atomic Sherpas. So basically, me and Kluka started it. He bailed early. I kept it going, and it's been my band, yeah. But Thomas Shores is mine.
Yeah. And then Hellbat.
Hellbat,
that's
yeah.
yours too, right?
Yeah, because I want to play drums. I wanted like a furtherance of bazooka.
Yeah, people, you got to understand, yeah, Mr. Pazzini and a drummer man. He's doing the horns.
Sax, thing. Flute, harmonica, sing.
Harp. He's a, yeah, throat man, not a hand sticking the beat man. So, Hellbat's a way to play drums again. Look, yeah. I ask everybody this, especially young people, but if somebody wants to ask you about advice in music, racket.
Oh, the racket?
Just music.
Okay.
Advice.
Yeah. Right. Advice. Sheesh. Well, that's general, right? That's huge. Advice for music. Well, find what it is, because people come into it for different reasons. They come into it like they take lessons. They're made to do it. They go through the program. Whatever the deal is like, you know, find what you love in it and do that. And, you know, there's as far as like making any dough or a career or whatever, I have no idea. You know, I mean, maybe there are useful things. But the fact is, if you do exactly what you love and follow that, you know, what drives you, what interests you, and it's love. Love is difficult because it doesn't mean it's easier. You're jumping for joy. That can lead you into the most difficult circumstances and things where that love, if you will, I'm using that term, you know, takes you into the most difficult, frustrating times and pursuits. So it doesn't mean you're always dancing around in, you know, I don't think Joseph Campbell meant that, you know, that you're always spinning around like some dervish out of your mind with joy. It's just like, but you find that, and that is what is going to make, your art, I don't even know if it's the best, but it's going to be, for me, it's like that's what makes it all worth pursuing. So whether or not, you know, you can pay your rent with it or not, that's the thing you're going to go to your grave being glad that you did. I mean, that's all I can think of.
Great advice. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Vince.
Sure.
Really my honor. It's been a long time.
My honor.
Getting to play with you and see you play continually. And finally on What for Pedro Show. It's been August 17th, 2014 edition. Thank you so much, Dirk Vandenberg. Thank you for being here at the guitar.
Thanks for
People out there, keep your powder dry.